Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship today. It's going to be another hot one out there, I think, but it's nice and cool in here. And we're ready to lift up the Lord, to worship his name, to give thanks. And so as we begin this morning, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we are grateful to be in your presence again today, we ask that you'll come and move in a powerful way. We need you, Lord, and we need to know that your love is with us once again. We don't want to face another week without knowing that our hearts are aligned with you and your purpose, that you are smiling on our lives, and that we're ready to move forward into the plans that you have for all of us. So today, help us to focus on you, to worship you with all that we are. We know that you'll come and move. So we give you thanks for this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. At this time, we'll sing. Are you grateful this morning for the everlasting love of God, the one who doesn't get tired, doesn't grow weary, always has a plan, always cares, and always loves? Well, this morning we do want to prepare to go to prayer. We want to keep in mind several who are sick today. We're continuing to pray for Shirley Johnson. She's sleeping a lot now, not eating too much. So we just need to pray for God's wisdom and what is best for her, but she's resting at home with the care of family and friends. We're praying also for Norma Goff. She's continuing her physical therapy and is scheduled to be transferred to a therapy unit out of the hospital coming up this Tuesday. So we pray for a smooth transition for her. And then this morning early, Connie DePauli had to go to the emergency room with some symptoms, but they think things are okay, and as far as I know, they sent her home, but we do want to be praying for Connie as well. And then we want to be praying for our world and for our country, for our leaders, and then for our church, that we would continue to shine the love of Christ brightly into our world, that we would be disciples who follow the Lord in all things, who live in the fullness of the Spirit. So with all these things in mind, Joy is going to come to lead us in prayer at this time.
Let us bow our heads and just be comfortable where we are and just bask in the presence of the Lord. Father God, we know you're here. We know you're in this place. We give thanks for this day of life and for the opportunity to gather with friends and loved ones to worship and to give thanks. We thank you for Jesus, the God-man, your Son, who was sent to redeem sinful humans and to provide a way for eternal life for all believers. Dear God, that is our hope, and we give thanks. We pray for each and every person who is suffering physically. We pray, dear God, that you will be with them. Their names were mentioned, and they all have various areas of pain and discomfort, concern. We add Delia to the list as she's having tests on Tuesday. Father, we pray for the release of all anxiety. We pray that these individuals will feel your peace. They'll feel the presence of the Holy Spirit with them in all things. Help them to release the fear of anything, dear God. We pray for the medical people that will be caring for them and that are already taking care of them. We pray that you will guide them and direct them and that they will allow themselves to be led by you. I pray, dear God, that each one of these individuals will feel your strong arms of comfort around them. And dear Father, we feel so vulnerable when we are down physically. I pray, dear God, for strength and for your loving arms to be around them, holding them, leading them forward. And I pray, Father, that each one of us will be a good prayer warrior, lifting others up for healing and for comfort. And Father, as we're here this day, we pray for our church, for our outreach, for the fact that we can talk to others about you and what you have done for us and about answers to prayer. We are such a testimony to others when we explain how we've been led and helped by your guidance because we prayed. And we know, dear God, that you are ever listening to us. And if we feel you're not responding right away, it doesn't mean you haven't heard or you won't work it out. Let us just be calm. Keep our faith. And Father, I pray for each and every family that's represented here this day. May our homes be havens of peace. And may we grow in the word as we study and as we lift up our voices in prayer. Father, I pray for our pastor. I pray for his health and his well-being as he leads us. And dear God, I pray that you will protect him in all the travels he does. Father, I pray that you will be with our world. It's a chaotic time. We see bad and we see good. Help us concentrate on the good things that are happening. Help us to be positive people, and help us to move forward in helping others. And Father, we know you are in charge, that you are in control, and all things will work together for good. Father, I pray for this day, this message, and when we leave here, may we depart to serve, Lord, and to be Jesus to others. There are a lot of people that are hurting that don't know your son. And help us be ambassadors, Lord, to share. And it's in your son's holy and precious name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, at this time, I also want to talk about offering and our giving. We hope that you're remaining consistent in your giving through the summer season. You may be traveling. Please, if you are a regular giver, please make arrangements to do that consistently. And you can easily do that online. You can go to fairmeadowchurch.org and click on Give Today. That's an easy way to do it, and that's how I do it, in fact. You can give through Facebook or whatever platform you're watching on. But also you can mail it in or just, however you want to do it. We're ready to receive your tithes and offerings. As you go today, please give before you leave. Keep in mind this big project that we have to raise money for the HVAC unit. We need to raise a little under $6,000, and we're almost halfway there at this point. So we appreciate your faithfulness in giving above and beyond for this project. Of course, always you can give toward Nazarene missions that make a difference around the world. When you go to give online, you can drop down and choose if you need to designate your extra gift above and beyond. So that's what I do. I do my regular giving, and then I do giving toward this project. You can give toward the World Evangelism Fund, a variety of ways that you can give, even toward compassionate ministries here locally. So we hope that you'll give in the ways that the Lord prompts you to give, and your faithfulness makes a big difference toward our mission. All right, this time, let's turn our attention to God's Word. We appreciate all of the things that the Lord has made clear in the Scriptures. And today we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So let's stand in honor of God's Word as we read beginning at verse 13. Open your heart to the Word of the Lord. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed, and so I spoke, we also believe, and so we speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And this is God's word. You can be seated. So Paul is writing a very personal letter with 2 Corinthians, and he's opening his heart to the church that was located in the city of Corinth. They're dealing with a lot of problems, and so his letters to them are addressing those problems, and he's had to be firm with them more than once. But he wants them to know that the decisions he makes and the messages that he sends and has for them are not sent flippantly. And so there's a line in there that says a lot. I believed, and so I spoke. Paul says essentially that he's speaking from conviction when he shares these things. He's thought it through, and these things come from deep belief. Now, most scholars here think that Paul is quoting from a psalm, and it's Psalm 116, which, if you're familiar with it, it's one of my favorites. Verse 10 is probably what he's translating there. It says, I trust, this is in the NIV, I trusted in the Lord when I said. In other words, I was believing in God when I spoke. And that's what he's getting at. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm, I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Powerful scripture. And it's a hint that he's not always sure who he can trust when he's trying to help people. But he trusts God above all. And he's going to stick to his convictions as God leads him. And he's going to continue to be thankful for all that God has done for him. Now that's good wisdom for us all. Trust God and do what is right as best you can. Now sometimes problems come when we judge things from the outside or from a distance. The Corinthians were dealing with suffering and trials, and they were beginning to wonder, what does all that mean? And Corinth was the kind of place where every belief under the sun was being practiced. So with all these options, Paul wants them to know that following Jesus doesn't mean ignoring the hard questions of life. Jesus and the scriptures offer hope to those who are suffering and to the hurting. They don't need to look elsewhere. So what about us? Well, these days, things are changing. One of the things that's changing on the landscape of America is shopping malls, right? They're becoming an endangered species. Online shopping is so much easier, and they bring it right to your door if you know who to trust and how to do it safely. But actually going to a mall is not all that safe these days. Stores are getting boarded up, and security is more of a challenge. But today, every town is like Corinth was. Lots of different beliefs all around. And through the internet, even more options. And here's the problem for the church and for Christians. So few Christians actually know that much about their faith. Now, I'm going to say that one more time slow. So few Christians actually know that much about their faith. So when problems come, they don't know what to do. They don't know what Christ would recommend or what the scriptures say over and over again because they really haven't read the thing. Some examples. Since we don't really read the Bible and we don't go as deep as we should into our understanding of truly living out the Christian faith, a lot of people think that faith is about being a good boy or a good girl. It's about behavior modification. If you don't do certain sins and you do certain good works, you shall be saved. That's the idea that many people carry around with them. It's a nice little system. It just doesn't have that much to do with Jesus or the gospel. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Jesus said we are to love one another. That was his one command when he boiled it down to one thing. Jesus said elsewhere, love your neighbor as yourself. And he even had the gall to say, love your enemies. He also said, don't commit adultery. But then he went further and he said, don't sit around imagining it either. So this is so much more than being good. This is about being filled with all the fullness of God. This is about Jesus making all things new. It's a very big project that Jesus has undertaken. And us being good boys and good girls, well, sure, we should obey the Lord. Yes, we should be living righteously. But it's pretty deep what God is asking for us, and it's not something we could manage on our own. So sure, like Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. But understand that Jesus is here to do the heavy lifting when it comes to that. And he gets all the glory as well. Are you tracking with me this morning? We don't want to get that wrong. This is more than the gospel of sin management. And if you're taking pride because you think you're better than someone else here today, please stop it. Because that's not how Christians do it. Maybe you think you're better than someone who's not here today. Again, you're doing it wrong. Here's the thing. If you successfully stop sinning, it will be because Jesus gives you the power to do it. Amen? And if you do good, you'll simply be carrying out the good works that it says in Ephesians that he created in advance for us to do. Boom, right? So this is about God's big project. And yes, he wants to change our lives. But he wants us to be so much more than a good boy or a good girl. He wants us to be people who can change the world. He wants us to be people that bring his presence even more into a situation. Not that God isn't already there, but because we're there and in sync with him, even more good stuff happens. Not because of us, but because of him. Now, Paul isn't writing to the ones who think they have it all together here. It's clear. He's writing to the ones who realize they're in pain. Anyone here in pain? He's writing to the ones who realize they're tired. Anybody here tired? He's writing to the ones who realize they're getting old. He's writing to people maybe who are sick. But he wants everyone to overhear it, even the people who are in denial about such things. This morning, the Meaning Mall is open for business. There's so many things out there, so much stuff that sounds good, but just isn't true, not in the way that the gospel is true. So if you don't understand the gospel and you don't realize how much it can help you through times of suffering, you might get sucked into some other belief about it. Some systems, they claim that suffering is an illusion. Well, it's a pretty convincing illusion, let me just say. And so in others, they say it's a sign that you've sinned. You must have done something wrong. But Paul says this in verse 16. So we do not, let's read this together. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Folks, suffering is part of life. Death is part of life. We can't be in denial about it, and we don't have to be as Christians. Don't lose heart this morning, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're dealing with. Even when your body is wasting away, Paul says we can still be renewed. You can still find the power to live each day, and you can live it as a holy gift from God. So don't turn away from suffering, and don't turn away in fear. But even more importantly, don't turn away from God during times of suffering. Amen? That's the time to lean in and experience all that God has for you. Because Jesus knows what it's like. He did a fair bit of suffering himself on the cross. And he suffered for us. He took our sins upon himself. And suffering is lousy in many ways, let's just be honest. But Christians can find meaning even as they're walking through it. So you don't need to go shopping at the meaning mall. This thing with Jesus, it's real. And it's now. And Jesus is renewing us. That's absolutely true, even on our worst day. The Holy Spirit filling us. And this is real life. So are you tracking with me today? Are you experiencing God at this level in your life that even when it hurts, even when the struggle is real, that the power of Jesus is working within you to renew you and give you life? Well, I checked, and none of us are getting any younger. The outer man is fading away, but the inner person is being made new. So we can live with hope, even while we cope with bodies that sometimes let us down. And here's the truth. Even when we die, we know that one day we will rise again. Amen? This body will be made new, and if we just try not to think about it, we might not be as ready as we could be when that day approaches. So my prayer for us is that God will give us a desire, yes, to live well while we're walking in this world. Because of Jesus, we can have life to the full. But that doesn't mean a life that has no suffering. And I pray that we will want one thing even more, and that is to live with Jesus in the fullness of his kingdom one day. Amen? Because he will be back, folks. He's coming back, either to get us one by one as he calls us home, or when he comes back fully and finally on that day to set up his kingdom. So whether we go on ahead to await the resurrection or we get to see it all unfold live in front of us, let's remember these truths. Let's not live in fear for that day, but let us rejoice that we are now closer than we ever were before. Thanks be to God. The last verse of this passage says this in chapter 5, verse 1. Let's read this together again. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So Jesus will make even our bodies new and imperishable one day. And Paul is inviting the Corinthians and even inviting us to live now with a hope that never dies, a stubborn hope rooted in our everlasting God and in the reality of the resurrection. Verses 14 and 15 said, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, amen, and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. This morning, don't lose heart, because we've got a lot to do before Jesus comes, because grace needs to extend to more and more people. Amen. And let us not lose our way or lose heart, because we are the ones who have already experienced it and tasted of it. Let us live with that hope as we look forward to that day. God loves you, and God is for you. And if you're hurting and suffering, even if you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death this morning, the gospel is for you. Jesus is the one who sustains you. The power of the Holy Spirit can still fill you, and you are still living toward all the good things that God has in store. Amen. God is good. So lean into what he has for you this morning. In your times of trial, if you've been tempted to look away and look for other paths, this morning I'm inviting you to look to Jesus, the author and the one who makes perfect our faith. So let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father, this morning, we realize that we can get more from you than we sometimes realize. But also, Lord, you're asking for more of us. You're asking for our complete trust. I believe, and so I speak. So this morning, may the things that we say arise out of the deep convictions that we have from you. And may how we look at our lives and make sense of our world arise deeply from our faith, deeply believing that your power is made perfect in our weakness, that even though our bodies might be wasting away, within we are renewed and we can know the joy of the Lord. Father, reach out to the one who needs your comfort the most this morning, and come right alongside them in this moment. Lord, even with all that they are facing and all that they are dealing with, just let your holy love wash over them. Let your presence be with them. Let your peace go beyond all understanding and know we don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to know for sure what tomorrow holds, but we can trust you, the living God, the everlasting God. And this morning, I pray for you as we're still in prayer. If God's speaking to you and you're reaching out for more of him just now, would you just acknowledge that where you are? Would you raise your hand? Thank you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I realize your love is for me. I need your comfort just now. Remind me that you are with me in my suffering. Thank you. Father, I pray right now that you will be our all in all, that we will trust you completely. Although we don't have it all figured out, and although it still hurts, that we can say, I believe, and so I spoke. My conviction that God is with me, that his salvation is the cup I drink from this day, and I look forward to what his love has in store. We pray this in Jesus' powerful name. And everyone said, if you're watching online, we thank you for joining us today. Have a great week. We're going to sign off at this time, so thank you. For those of you who are still here, let's prepare to come to the Lord's table. You'll find that there are communion elements, the portable variety, that should be near you on a table. So if you'd go at this time, just one at a time, and grab one for yourself and take it back to your seat. So there's a little tab on the top, and you'll want to go ahead and pull that back. So it's really thin where you take the bread off. The scripture tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, before he was to be lifted up, he gathered together with his disciples. And when he had given thanks, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." So let's pray. Father, we ask in this moment that you will come with your Holy Spirit and descend upon us and upon these gifts. We're so grateful that Jesus came. We're so grateful that his death and resurrection opened the door for us this morning. Lord, after a prayer like we just had, surely there's nothing between us and you, but if there is, let us confess it as we come before the table. And let us prepare to eat these symbols, the bread and the juice, the fruit of the vine. And as they are symbols of your body and your blood, make them for us a means of grace today, as only you can. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So at this time, with reverence, let's eat the bread. And likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, for you and for many, for the remission of sins." He also promised that we would drink this with him one day in the fullness of his kingdom. So he said for us to drink it as often as we do in remembrance of him. So let's drink the cup. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. It's been a while since we have come to the table. But thank you, Lord, that your invitation is there, that we can taste and see that the Lord indeed is good. And we ask, Lord, that as we've been nourished by these elements, that we will also feed upon your grace and your mercy. Make us to be the people who, in your name, bless and serve our world. And we look forward to drinking and eating with you again in the fullness of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, it's been good to be in church. Let's stand together and let's declare our faith once more before we leave. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go, sure about the love of God. Go, ready to live through all the trials of the world in the knowledge that God is with you, that God is for you, and that his grace is sufficient. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you.